Thank you for leading us in a time of corporate worship of God. This morning, we will read from Genesis chapter 26, the word of God found in Genesis 26, the words written by Moses. It is found on page 20 of the Bible that's in front of you, underneath in the chair. And we will read the whole chapter, Genesis 26. Now there was a famine in the land besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and will give to your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So Isaac settled in Gerar. When the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister," for he feared to say, "my wife," thinking, lest the men of the place should kill me because of Rebekah, because she was attractive in appearance. When he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of a window and saw Isaac laughing with Rebekah, his wife. So Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, she is your wife. How then could you say she is my sister?" Isaac said to him, "Because I thought, lest I die because of her." Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us." So Abimelech warned all the people, saying, "Whoever touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." And Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him. And the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks and herds of many servants, so that the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped and filled with earth all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." So Isaac departed from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water that had been dug in the days of Abraham his father, which the Philistines had stopped after the death of Abraham. And he gave them the names that his father had given them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of spring water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they contended with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that also. So he called its name Sitna. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, saying, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." From there he went up to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you and multiply your offspring for my servant Abraham's sake." So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. When Abimelech went to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, his advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his army, Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me, seeing that you hate me and have sent me away from you?" They said, "We see plainly that the Lord has been with you." So we said, "Let there be a sworn pact between us, between you and us, And let us make a covenant with you that you will do us no harm, just as we have not touched you and have done to you nothing but good and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord. So he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. In the morning they rose early and exchanged oaths. And Isaac set them on their way, and they departed from him in peace. That same day Isaac's servants came and told him about the well that they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." He called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. When Esau was 40 years old, he took Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, to be his wife, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and they made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. Here ends the reading of the Word of God. Let's pray.
Well, computers are really nice when they do what they're supposed to do, and they are a pain when they don't do what they're supposed to do. And this week, ours was being a pain, and so on Friday, I updated it, got the latest update system, and I thought, okay, no problem, everything's well. Last night, discovered not well, and one of the things we found out is that a lot of our photographs are missing, and so my wife has given me something to do this next week to try to discover where they are. I don't know if you realize, you know, what a blessing photographs are. I mean, I know in my mom's house, I actually have a picture, two pictures, of my great-great-grandparents. And that's you know, that's pretty amazing. You think throughout history, photographs are just aren't at all possible, never were possible. They obviously did paintings, but a photograph, you can kind of capture the moment. And you know, one of the things that's kind of enjoyable to look, you look back at old photographs and you see, you know, you look at your children or something like that, and you can see glimpses of yourself or, you know, your wife or whatever the case may be. And so that's kind of exciting to be able to do that. Unfortunately, one of the things that is not so exciting is when you look at your children and you see some of your sinful tendencies in the lives, coming out in the lives of your children. That is not very exciting at all. And it's heartbreaking to see. And so one of the things that I want us to look at this morning, there's two lessons that that we're going to be looking at from the life of Isaac. And the first lesson that I want us to see is that that some sinful tendencies are passed down. Now, obviously, to be human means that we inherit a sin nature. Every one of us is born with a sin nature, and so I'm not talking about that. But as we looked at this chapter, and as Greg read the chapter, we're going to see that there are particular sinful tendencies that Isaac learned from his father, and so one of the lessons that we should learn from Isaac's life is that there is a need for us to watch over our own lives carefully. Now, in the very first verse that Greg read, we are told by Moses that there is a famine in the land. And if you've read through the book of Genesis, the fact that Moses says, "Now there was a famine in the land," should jog your memory. And it should jog your memory because back in chapter 12, Abraham, we are told that there was a famine that was in the land during Abraham's day. And obviously here Moses makes mention to that when he talks about that in the days of Abram. And when the writer says something like, when Moses is saying something like that to us, he's wanting us, he's giving us a heads up, and he's saying, okay, I'm going to let you in on something, and you need to go back to Abraham's life and see what are some connections that are there. Now, you can turn back to chapter 12, just back, obviously, 14 chapters, and you will see in chapter 12, chapter 12 begins, Abraham is given a call by God, and he is told to leave Mesopotamia, and he is told that you are to go to the land that I'm going to show you. We know that land to be the land of Canaan. Abraham obviously did not know it at the time. Abraham was not his name then. His name was Abram, but we'll just call him Abraham. And God told Abram that when you get to the land, that I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to not only bless you, but I'm going to make you a blessing so that all the nations are blessed. So that's what Abraham was told when he left Mesopotamia. He was told that when you get to the land of Canaan, I'm going to make you a blessing, and you're going to be a blessing to others. So a little bit later in chapter 12, we are told in verse 10 that a famine arrives in the land of Canaan, and Abraham, instead of recognizing, okay, this is just part of life's struggles. Life has struggles. There's no way getting around those struggles. Abraham, instead of recognizing that and seeing that as, okay, God said, you go here, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you a blessing, therefore I can trust God to provide in this situation, Abraham decides instead to head down to Egypt. And it's while he is in Egypt that he moves down there and he gets himself into all kinds of trouble, as we, if you follow on in chapter 12, to find out. And so when we come to chapter 26, verse 1, and we hear about another famine that has arrived in the land, this time it's during the life of Isaac, we are not surprised to see that Isaac, instead of trusting God and saying, okay, God, I'm going to allow you to provide, Isaac starts to head down towards Egypt. He gets as far as the land of Gerar, and there he hears from God, and the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt, dwell in the land, and I will dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Obviously, though, Isaac's intention, because of his unwillingness to trust God, he was planning to go to Egypt, and had God not told him, Isaac would have continued to go on down to Egypt. And when Abraham went to Egypt to escape the famine, we know that while he was there in chapter 12, he ends up being deceitful to Pharaoh. He lies about his wife. He calls Sarah his sister, so he can save his own skin so he doesn't get hurt. And God thankfully and graciously rescues Sarah, but Abraham lies about his wife. And lo and behold, in chapter 22, Abraham does the same thing. He does it this time he does it in the land of Gerar, and he does it to a king, a different king, but a king by the same name. And so we are not surprised here in chapter 26 that we see Isaac engaging in the very same sin of lying about his wife to save his skin that Abraham did. And God, in his mercy, comes and he rescues Rebekah. He sees the king Abimelech sees Isaac being, the ESV calls it, laughing with his wife. The NASB and the NIV both use the word caressing. So obviously there's much more going on here. King Abimelech much more recognizes there's something that's going on here than just laughing together. And he sees that, and so he rescues Rebecca and warns the people to stay away from that. And obviously, because Abraham himself, it was a pattern in Abraham's life, he never really dealt with that sin. It was something that Isaac himself picked up. And I think as parents, those of us who are parents, we have to be careful. We have to be aware of the fact that we have little ones, and the little ones might be one, or they might be 18, or they might be 25, and they are watching, and they are influenced by us, and they can be influenced by the sin that we are having. And if we are struggling with honoring the Lord with our tongues, we shouldn't be surprised that our children struggle with honoring the Lord with their tongues. As a husband, you know, are we aware of the fact that, okay, I want to treat my wife in a way that honors the Lord, not just so that it honors the Lord, that's the most important thing, but also recognizing that if I have a daughter in the house, or if I have a son in the house, I'm also modeling to them how to treat their future wife. And if I'm not treating my wife in a way that is honoring to the Lord, would I someday be happy if I have a daughter to hand her over to some future man who is going to treat her the same way I'm treating my wife? And of course, the same thing could be said concerning wives, as how we respond, as how you respond to your husband. You are modeling for your future, for your children, how they are going to respond to their future spouse. And it's very easy to see that from the life of Isaac here, that because Abraham didn't deal with the sins that were in his life, those same sins were replicated in Isaac's life. And sadly, we won't look at that today, but if you go to chapter 27, we find that Isaac, in many ways, kind of drifted in his spiritual life, because one of the things that he, when it came time to the end of his life and to pass on the covenant of blessings that he received from his father Abraham, we're told in chapter 27, verse 1, that when his eyes were dim, the reader is wanting us to think there's more going on here than just physical eyes. There's a spiritual interaction that is going on here. Isaac's spiritual life is not as bright as it should be. And as a result, because of his desire for wild game, nothing wrong with wild game, but because of his desire to taste the wild game, enjoy the pleasures that he could receive from his son Isaac, rather than wanting to find out what is God trying to do in the life of my two children. And of course, we will never outgrow our need to watch and to monitor the sin in our lives carefully. And you might not be a parent, but you might be an aunt or an uncle to somebody, or you just might be a big brother or a big sister to somebody. And if we don't watch and monitor our lives, our sin can have an impact on them. And so we need to make sure that we are watching carefully our life. And part of that is the reason why we need to be in community with others. I used to think I was a pretty good person, and I wasn't very selfish until married my selfish wife. Yeah. I mean, we all laugh because we recognize, as the video showed, we recognize that we can get along for the most part by ourselves. But it's when we begin to interact with other people that the idols that are there become exposed. I had no idea that I had buttons that kind of set me off. My kids exposed and helped me to see those buttons. And some of you who are parents, you recognize that. But that's why it's so important that we need to be in community with others. Because if we are not in community with others, there is a good chance that we will not, that our selfish tendencies will not be exposed. And so that's one of the reasons why next week and for the next 8 weeks after that, we are doing this Peacemaker Resolving Everyday Conflict class. That's why as elders, we purposely picked John because we knew he was a person who runs to conflict, and I don't mean that in a negative way at all. One of the things that I have appreciated so much, there's a number of things I've appreciated, but one of the things that I've appreciated so much about this upcoming class you'll see is you learn that we all have a way of dealing with conflict. Some of us are attackers. John, you run right into it. Some of us are attackers. Some of us are I'm going to run. I'm going to conflict over here. I'm going over that way. And some of us kind of, go back and forth like a tack, a tachometer. It's just Minnesota Nice. It's kind of like that. You know, it's this passive aggressive. No conflict. And then all of a sudden, boom! Where did that come from? Well, comes from the heart. And so, as elders, we made the choice. We want every family to attend the class. If you're a college student, we got a book for you. If you will attend the class, we got a book from you. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Right now, our country is in turmoil. It's in a mess. It's in a huge conflict. We don't know what is going to happen. I thought the last 8 years was politically enough. But just since the election, I'm amazed at how much it is becoming political. And we don't know what the next 4 years will be like. And so, as believers, this gives us an opportunity to let the world know how we interact. Jesus said in John 13:34, he said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples." And so I hope that you will make time in your busy schedule to attend the next 8 weeks. Greg didn't put in a plug for his Sunday school class, Christian Living class, this next hour, but let me put in a plug for that too. It is a very important class. He's going to be dealing with the issue of genderism and homosexuality and the biblical response to it, and so I just encourage you to attend that also. Well, this brings me to my second point, and that is that a spiritual heritage is intended to be passed down. Now, this almost seems, it's like, wait a second here, this seems to be opposite of what I just said, because I talked about the fact that some sinful tendencies are passed down, and now I'm talking about a spiritual heritage that is intended to be passed down. And we never escape our sinful tendencies, and it might seem contradictory, but I purposely chose to end this way because I wanted to end on a positive note rather than the other way around. And so we see here that God uses a spiritual heritage that Isaac received to bear fruit in Isaac's life. In verse 2, God had warned Isaac not to go down. And we see that God says to Isaac in chapter 26, verses 3 to 5, when Isaac decided to stay, Abraham, we see that God says to Isaac, and as far as we can tell, this is the very first time that God spoke to Isaac, and he says, Isaac, I want you to sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you for to you and to your offspring. I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and I will give to your offspring all these lands, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments, my statutes and my laws. In other words, Isaac received his spiritual heritage, shall we say, because Abraham had obeyed and kept God's charge. And the fact that Abraham walked closely with God enabled Isaac to partake of the same blessings that his father had. And it's often been said that God has no spiritual grandchildren, and that is true. But one of the means that God uses to reach the next generation is the spiritual heritage that is passed on to us by others. That doesn't take away from God's sovereignty or doesn't make Isaac a robot, but it recognizes that God uses means to reach people. And clearly, Isaac is blessed because of Abraham's obedience. What is interesting is throughout the scriptures, you will see this phrase, the God of Abraham, the God of Abraham. It's recorded numerous times. Oftentimes, you will see the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Sometimes it's just the God of Abraham. But one of the things you will not find in Scripture is you will not find the God of Isaac unless it's attached to the God of Abraham. You see, Isaac received his spiritual heritage because of the relationship that Abraham had and what Abraham was able to pass on down to Isaac. And so leaving a godly legacy to our children or to our nieces or nephews or even to the kids that we are teaching in a Sunday school should be something that we recognize as high priority. And I say aunts and uncles or Sunday school because I don't want us to rule out the fact that just because you might not be a parent doesn't mean that you can't have an impact in somebody's life that can greatly influence them to Christ. In my own life, I'm very thankful I had Christian parents. I remember my father reading the Bible to me when I was little, and I remember my father singing to me, "Jesus Loves Me," especially when I was sick. I would sit on his lap and he would sing, "Jesus Loves Me." I remember my mother praying with me. When I had issues that I was dealing with, and so I'm very thankful for the Christian parents that I had. But I would say that the two men that God used the most in my life were when I was in my college. It was a retired pastor and another godly older man in my church. And God used both of those people, and there was absolutely no relationship, but God used both of those people and the rich spiritual heritage that they had and to pass it on to me. And God used those things in my life to stir my heart for him. And so I don't want anybody to think that, well, I'm not a parent, so leaving a spiritual heritage isn't applicable to me. If you have nieces and nephews, if you're teaching Sunday school, you can have a rich impact on believers. And one of the reasons why we're called to be in community with each other is so that God can speak through us to each other. Colossians 3:16 calls us to have that relationship with each other as brothers and sisters, that we admonish one another. And so a Christian education is very important, and it's one of the ways that we pass it on. And as a parent, I just encourage you to be looking for other adults that can speak into your life. One of the interesting things that in this large section here, where Isaac is going back and forth and he is trying to find water and trying to live in peace, it's very interesting, and we see the spiritual heritage that Isaac received from his father playing out in his life. You notice that there's numerous times where the herdsmen are quarreling with Isaac. And finally, he builds a well, and they don't quarrel with him. And so you'd think, oh, Isaac will stay there because he's got no problem. Nobody is fighting with him. He should be happy to stay there. But you'll find that after he's dug his well, and they didn't quarrel with him, he named the well Rehobel, saying, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Okay, he's going to stay. But what happens here? It says, from there he went up to Beersheba. Why would he go to Beersheba when he just had a well and nobody was fighting over it? You got herds. You're in an arid countryside. You need water. Why would you take a chance in going to Beersheba to look for water? And the answer is told is, if we go back to chapter 22, after Abraham and Isaac had gone up to Mount Moriah, and Abraham had offered, was going to offer Isaac on the mount as he was commanded by God. God stopped him. It says that Abraham returned, and they rose, and together they went to Beersheba. And so here is Isaac, after all this conflict that he had been having with the shepherds, he's recognizing, oh, something is missing in my life. I remember after that time in my life with my father, we went to Beersheba. And so it was, he goes to Beersheba, and we find that it's at Beersheba that the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you and multiply your offspring for my servant Abraham's sake." And so what does Isaac do? He builds an altar, he pitches a tent, and then he digs his well. You would have thought he would have done it the other way around. You would have thought that he would have, okay, before I pitch a tent, I better dig a well, see if there's water here. But no, he knew that God was going to take care of him. And so he did it in that direction. And lo and behold, Abimelech and the commander of the army, Phicol, they come to Isaac. And they come to Isaac because now they can see God's blessing in Isaac's life. And they want to be a part of it. And so I think as parents or as Sunday school teachers, we can be encouraged that although we might not see immediately the impact of the spiritual heritage that we are having on those around us, we can trust that God will use that in those people's lives to impact them. Peter tells us the importance of building a spiritual heritage in people when he says, grace and peace are multiplied to us through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Head knowledge is not the end goal. Grace and peace is the end goal of education, of Christian education, of passing on that spiritual heritage. But God uses the knowledge about God and of Jesus our Lord to impact others with grace and peace. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for, I think of Pastor Lester and Lowell, two men who really had an impact in my life. And Lord, I'm sure that there's many others here who could name a man, a woman, somebody who has had a deep impact in their lives, and very possibly that the reason why they are walking with you today is because of the impact that person had on their lives. Father, I pray that you would help us as a church to recognize that if we are going to become sanctified in our lives, if we are going to grow and to have a life that is pleasing in your sight, it is only going to happen as we interact with others, as we allow others to speak into our lives, and as we make ourselves available to others so that they can speak into our lives. Father, we pray that that out of that will come relationships that are honoring to you so that those around us can see that we are your disciples. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.